remember Zion.
Am I on? I don't know if I'm on. I'm on. Hello. Hi, everybody. Good morning. So glad to see you here this morning. I know sometimes we come in and there's just, 100 plus people in here, but I like this. This is like having a small group. So I'm really excited this morning. We will continue our story about Daniel this morning, but I would like, before we do, to take you back to the ripe year of 1992, where I'm on my first date with my husband, Michael. And so you can see Michael, he's going to come up, actually had brown hair then. I don't know if you know Michael, but he's totally white now. He says it started to go white when he met me, but that's not true. He started to go white when he was like in his 20s. So our very first date, and ladies, you may remember your first date, I took a lot of care in how I got ready. I was really excited. I wore like a cute, this is actually a picture of our first date. I have a cute little outfit on, and I don't know if you can notice, but Michael's like in this ratty jacket. He showed up with his Bed-Stuy do or die, he's a retired police officer. I think it had blood stains on it. It was ripped. And I opened the door and I'm like, close the door. I'm like, what? I'm like all cute in my little outfit. Where are you going? Well, unbeknownst to me, next slide, we were going to a Ranger game. And if you've ever been to a hockey game, we are now a hockey house, they don't exactly dress the way I was prepared to go to the Ranger game. You go to a Ranger game, and you've got to dress a little differently. Now, some people who know hockey may remember this. I cannot ruin it. It's my husband's antique. Leach is like the Michael Jordan of hockey for Rangers. So what I had to do over the years is dress a little differently. I wasn't too excited. As you can see, I wore my nice clothes underneath. But as time went on, I would need to wear a hockey jersey like this, right? And then, of course, I would wear a nice something underneath, put my collar up, try the best I could. Then I would have to put on, of course, the Ranger cap, right? Because you've got to dress the part, right? And then maybe I would bring the foam finger, which is actually an oven mitt because we couldn't find a foam finger anywhere. So I got a nice little oven mitt for the Rangers. And then maybe I would bring a little something to throw at people. Because when you go to a Ranger game, anybody been to a hockey game, even in minor league, right? Even if you went to a little youth hockey league, it's got a lot of passion, right? People are yelling and screaming and carrying on. And you want to fit in, right? You want to start to be like everybody else. This next slide, I see that Carlos has his Yankee hat on. You might look at this slide and find a team that you've rooted for. And maybe not you, but somebody you know has rooted for that team. Because there's a confidence that comes knowing you belong to a team, knowing what your logo is, knowing who your players are, knowing the music that gets sang at a baseball game or wherever you are. And as I was preparing for this message today, I thought of Daniel. See, Daniel knew what team he played on. Daniel knew how he needed to act. Daniel knew how he needed to influence people by the way he conducted himself in exile. See, what I truly believe is that not only are we believers living in an unbelieving world, but we are meant to influence this unbelieving world. That God put us here. Our purpose is on the next slide. Steve told us 2 weeks ago, Daniel knew who God was. Daniel knew who Daniel was. And Daniel knew his calling. And then last week, Corey did a brilliant job, and I would suggest you can watch these videos online on shelterrock.com, shelterrockchurch.com. You can watch those videos. And then last week, Corey talked about recognizing God's revelation, relying on God's revelation, and responding to God's revelation. So today we're going to pick up in Daniel 2, 24 to 49. And listen, I have to read 25 verses. This is going to take a minute, okay? I mean, I am from Brooklyn. As you can see, I talk very quickly, but it's going to take a minute. So get out your Bibles, get out your phones, look up at the screen. I have 21 slides to help us get through this, but I don't know about you. There were other options today to read this text. I could have shown you a cartoon. I could have shown you a couple of slides. A little cute little animations. But I don't know about you, just something in my spirit said, read the Bible, read the text. So I hope you don't mind. Stick with me for a few minutes, and we're going to get through this together. Sound okay? Great. Okay, so we pick up in Daniel 24. Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to them, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him. Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. The king asked Daniel, also called Belshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that passed through your mind as you were lying in bed are these. As your majesty was lying there, your mind turned to the things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, the mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than anyone else alive, but so that your majesty may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. Your majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue is made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its bellies and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue at its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken in pieces and became like chaff on a thrashing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. Your majesty, you are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory in your hands. He has placed all mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of the iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and its interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, surely, surely, your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this day. Thank you that we're gathered here today. I pray, God, that your word just speaks true to our heart. Convict us, God. Invigorate us, God. Wake us up, God, to your word, to your truth, to your power, to your grace, oh, Father God. I just thank you in your heavenly, holy, precious name. Amen. What I'd like to focus on today is 247. I think what was so powerful, and we'll talk about the interpretation of the dream, but what I love about 247 is it reads, "For you, Daniel, were able to reveal the mysteries. For you were able to do this thing. For God used you, Daniel." And I truly believe that we can be a people of influence while living in exile. We are believers in an unbelieving world, but we can have influence on those around us. And I think Daniel teaches us three lessons, and there's many more. I mean, we could spend hours and hours on these first two chapters of Daniel. They're so rich in content. But what I like to focus on is just three points that I think Daniel shows us how to be that influence, how to live in exile, influence those around us. The first point, that Daniel builds his foundation on God. I mean, look at Daniel in 1:4. Daniel gets called into the king's service. Why? Because he's good looking, he's smart, he's apt, he's physically, you know, he's got it all. I don't know about you, but there are times that I do look at the banking account and it has more than $50 and I feel a little comfort. Does anybody feel that? There are days when I wake up out of bed at 56 and I don't have a pain in my body and I go, it's a good day, because I'm putting my foundation on something other than the rock, something other than the kingdom of God. And what happens is when you can sway like this, you're like the feet that were built out of clay and iron. They don't mesh together well. So when that rock comes under the statute that Daniel's talking about, it literally just takes the feet out from under these kingdoms, this head of gold, this body of silver, this body of bronze, because these kingdoms are built up on something other than the kingdom of God. I looked up in Webster because I kept remembering a phrase, and maybe you did too, my legs were taken out from under me. Does anybody remember that phrase? Like, I remember growing up with that phrase, right? And I Googled it. You gotta love Google, right? So my friend Jessica is gonna be my researcher in the future, but I was Googling, Jessica. I hope it's okay. So I Googled it, and Webster actually had a definition. And it said, when your knees, your legs, your feet are taken out by something strong, by something strong. So when we don't have that foundation built on the word of God and who we are, we will be taken out. I mean, does anybody remember that bill shows up in the door? I love Nassau County. They never tell you what your taxes are. The bill just shows up at the door. And I don't know about you, but I get a little heart palpitation. I go, God, I don't know how I'm gonna pay that bill. Where's that money gonna come from? It takes my legs out from under me. Anyone get a medical diagnosis? I remember years ago, I went to the doctor. I have a little cough, chest x-ray, spot on my lung, gotta go for a PET scan. Anybody have a scare with a PET scan? I couldn't even think straight. Michael came home from work. He goes, Carol, are you all right? I'm a very cheery person, but I was not cheery because it took my legs out from under me. And for like 3 days, I was so scared. I couldn't think straight. But what Jesus tells us, can you go to the next slide? So this is the statue, right? We've got the gold and the bronze and the copper. But then that kingdom of God comes underneath saying, you know what? That's that iron and that clay, it means nothing in the time of adversity and challenge. And I don't know about you, but 2020, oh my gosh, right? If there was ever a year that we can remember that has been filled with challenges where your legs just get taken out from under you every day. You look at the media, or you worry about your family, or you hear someone dying from COVID. I mean, this is what happens. But Jesus has the answer. In Matthew 7:24-27. Let's listen to these are said by Jesus. I was going to put them in red because we all know the David Crowder song, Red Letters, but it looked terrible. So I left them in white, but I italicized them. Jesus is saying these words. Therefore, everyone who bears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. Why? Because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and doesn't put them into practice is like foolish. Doozybots, we would say. Men who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it all came crashing down. I remember, and some of you may know, think about doing work on your house. I remember we did some construction on our house a couple of years ago, and there was a big argument between our architect, who's actually a member of Shelter Rock, and the contractor. The contractor wanted to put a 6-inch concrete footing in the house, and the architect said, no, we need a 12-inch footer because we're going to go up. We're going to build up. And so there was a little tension there, but the architect said, listen, this is what they want. This is how they're going to build. Jesus wants to build on us. He wants to build the house, but we have to start with a good foundation. And then after the footers were done, they came in, and what did they do? Hurricane straps. They put does anybody familiar with those? They put hurricane straps all over the house, from the concrete to the side, and then from the side to the roof. And then you had to wait 2 weeks till the inspector came. And the inspector had to come in and make sure these straps were put up. And what was incredible is that then we closed up the walls. You know, because you had to inspect these straps before the walls went up, before the paint went on, before the wallpaper went up, before the pictures, before the couch went against the wall. All of those straps had to be in place. So I remind you today the example of Daniel living in this world of unbelievers, living in exile. Where is your foundation? I saw this great quote, which is very political, but I'm putting it up anyway. During this time of donkeys and elephants, don't forget you belong to the Lamb. That's your foundation. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Amen. The next thing Daniel did living in exile is he responded with humility. I mean, this guy was really fantastic. I have 3 quick points under this. But let's think about how he responded to Arioch. He goes to Arioch, who has been told, kill everybody, right? Just go to Arioch. We're going to kill them all. And what does Daniel do? He goes to him and says, listen, don't kill anybody. I'll go to the king. I'll talk to him. Now, I don't know about you. I grew up in Brooklyn. I need to sometimes think of the Bible in 21st century terms. So now we have Daniel going to Luigi the bookie, right? And he goes to Luigi and he's got to pay his vig on the debt. Everybody know what a vig is, right? He's got to pay the bookie. He goes to Luigi and says, listen, don't break kneecaps. Take me to the boss. I'm going to explain. Now, I've seen enough, you know, like, Goodfellow, Godfather movies, to know this normally doesn't go very well, right? Luigi says, too bad, time's up, break the kneecaps, you're gone, Daniel, right? But here, we have to look back in verse 14. In verse 14, Arioch has already had an encounter with Arioch. Daniel has already had an encounter with Arioch. And what does it say? Daniel approached Arioch with wisdom and tact. To me, he approached it, Arioch, with respect. So if Daniel had gone to Luigi and said, I respect your position, I know what you're supposed to do. So Daniel had a reputation before that preceded him. What's your reputation? What's my reputation? If I took the last thing you tweeted, Facebooked, TikToked, how you spoke to your spouse, how you spoke to your kids, and I put it up here, would it point to God? Would it point to God? Or like me, who probably was very aggravated with my husband this morning because he didn't set the alarm clock on time, would it point to my ego? Would it point to an offense? Would it point to our pride? See, Daniel approaches him in all humility. He respects his position. He respects authority. And I can't wait for the second service for all those kids to show up and we can talk about respecting your parents. And then he also, in the next step, he deals with Arioch. Now listen to this, Arioch does take Daniel directly to the king. And what does he say? I found him, but I know you didn't forget like 2 minutes ago when I said, what did Daniel do? Daniel went to Arioch. Arioch didn't find Daniel, but Arioch wanted to take the credit in front of the king, right? And what does Daniel do? Daniel lets it go. Guys, there's some offenses. You really just got to let it go. I'm not saying don't be passionate about things. I'm not talking about, you know, someone really says something about your family and your and our God. Listen, you know, Jesus overturned the tables in the temples, right? We know God had, you know, Jesus experienced anger too. But does everything have to be an offense? I don't know about you. I think everything is an offense these days. You say anything. So what do? We zip it. But I'm not sure that's the way to go about it. I truly believe there's a way to handle even the offenses. You know, I got an email one day from someone who said something I posted on Facebook. And I'm one of those like, share. You know, I don't look them up. I don't check them. I'm like, that sounded good, share, you know. And someone called me up and said, you know, Carol, it was really offensive. And I really think you should take it down. And I was so taken aback. I said, I am so sorry. I immediately got on Facebook. I immediately took it down. I actually got off Facebook. I prayed to God, like, where was my blind side? You know, like, these are people what am I doing? I'm offending friends or whatever. I was like, this one is not worth, it's not a fight. So I love how Daniel, you know, probably watched Arioch, rolled his eyes, like, here goes Arioch again, taking the credit, I'm right here. But in the end of the story, who did the king bow down to? He didn't bow down to Arioch, he bowed down to Daniel. It reminds me of a similar story, and I encourage you to read it in Acts 16:25. And the reason why I highlight this story, because again, you have the power of influence. I want to encourage you this morning that you're just not living as a believer. You're living as a believer who's meant to influence the environment around you. I'm a certified leadership coach, and this is a very big part of my leadership coaching, is being a leader of influence. And here we have Daniel and Silas in prison. You may know the story, and there's an earthquake, and I love it. It shakes the foundation, right? We're talking about foundation. And so the chains are loose, the doors are open, the guard wakes up, and he takes a sword to himself. He's going to kill himself, because what is his assumption is that Paul and Silas have fled, right? They're flee. They can leave, but not. Paul goes, ho, don't kill yourself. We're right here. We're not going anywhere. And the guard is so moved by their conduct, he says, how do I know you're Jesus? How do I become saved? And not only does the guard become saved, his whole family becomes saved, comes to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You have the power of influence living as a believer in an unbelieving world. And the way you react with wisdom and tact, patience, you know, ask and listen, nobody's perfect. It doesn't happen all the time. But if we take that moment of pause, that moment of mindfulness and just ask God, what would you have me do? How do I allow God to reveal himself through me the way God revealed himself through Daniel when he interprets the dream for Nebuchadnezzar? The next one is Daniel during this crisis, right? The wise men are going to be put to death. I mean, think about where Daniel is. There is a reward on his head, right? They're coming to kill him. And he is in a posture of prayer and worship. I love what Corey taught us last week in 17 and 18 when he said, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel were down like low, right? They were in a posture of humility, a posture. And what I love is he's gathered with his friends, right? I mean, I don't know about you, when I spoke about, you know, having to go for that PET scan, the first thing I did was call my girls. I'm like, we need prayer. We got to get together. When COVID first hit, we had prayer groups all over the place, meeting with people every night, praying. This was a posture of humility. God, I can't handle this. I'm not in control. I need you to take care. I need you to be in this equation, God. Don't let me get out in front of you. I want you out in front and I'll follow you. And he went back to them in a posture of prayer. And then he praised God. Once the revelation came, he praised God. I don't know about you, but sometimes I forget that part. You know, I came out of that PET scan and not only did not, I didn't have the spot anymore, I had no cancer. And you know, it kind of took a minute of, yay, let me call everybody, it's all good. And then I'm like, wait a second. I have to praise the God who delivered me from this. Sometimes we forget the thank you. I don't know about you with kids sometimes, Ma, can I have $5? Hand them $5, they're out the door, right? I'm like, hello, like, thank you. Like, that'd be nice, you know, right? I mean, it happens. So we have to remember, it's not just the prayer of humility. It's the praise of humility. as we stand here this morning praising, what do? We open up, right? We open up. This is like an open posture, not a like, we don't praise like this. Hi, God. Yeah, it's great, God, right? We're like this. Everything I got is yours, God. Do what you will, God. Have it all, God. That's the posture of prayer and worship. And then he gives God the glory. He comes in front of King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar, I want to call him Nebi, because like that name is just too long, but I don't want to be disrespectful. So in my notes, it says Nebi, because I couldn't write Nebuchadnezzar anymore. So he comes in front of the king Nebuchadnezzar, and the king says, can you do it? Can you do it? You can interpret the dream. And think of the impossibility of what King Nebuchadnezzar was asking. He wasn't just asking, interpret the dream. He was like, tell me what the dream is in the first place. Tell me what you're thinking. Tell me what I dreamed. Impossible. And what does Daniel say? No wise man, no enchanter, nobody on this planet can do what you're asking, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mystery, and he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar. I also found, it was interesting, I just noticed it like 5 o'clock this morning when I was reading the text again and didn't get to put it in the PowerPoint. When he says to King Nebuchadnezzar, and we will interpret the dream. I just picked it up this morning. See, if you read something 30, 40 times, every time you read it, you pick up something new. It's worth hanging in there and keep reading it. We will interpret the dream. He didn't mean Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He meant we, me, in accordance with God's will. You know, you think we won't have influence when we give God glory. And you think people blow it off, right? You're like, oh yeah, he always says that. Yeah, it's God, it's probably luck. You know, people doubt when you give God glory that you really can have an effect on someone else and change their perception and lead them into a relationship in Jesus Christ. If permitted, I'd like to just take 2 minutes and tell you a story, because you know I always got a story. God gives me lots of stories. So Caitlin, my daughter and I, about 10 years ago, we go to Dunkin' Donuts on 107. Right by the mall. And we were with some friends. It was very frantic. We were in, we were out. But I didn't feel like the bill was high enough because we had a bottle of orange juice. And anyone who loves orange juice knows a bottle this big is like $7, right? It's like this big. And we got in the car and I go, the bill's not high enough. And I look and Caitlin accidentally left with an orange juice and I didn't pay for it. So for like a month, it bothered me. I have to go back to this Dunkin' Donuts and pay the $2 for this orange juice. It just weighed on me. So we go back into Dunkin' Donuts. Finally, one Sunday, we're at the mall. And there's a woman standing at the counter with the most fabulous shoes. So she has these fabulous shoes on. We go up to the counter. And I'm trying to do it very privately. You know, you really want to do these things in private. It's between you and God. I don't need, like, accolades from anybody. God knows I'm doing the right thing. I'm good, right? I don't need anybody else to comment on it. So I'm like, excuse me. I was here, like, and the person's like, what? You know, and I'm like, I was here, like, a month ago. I don't have a receipt, you know. And the guy just kept going, like, what? Now she turns to me, the woman, and goes, what are you doing? And I was like, I was here like a month ago. My daughter accidentally went, and she was like, who does that? I mean, loud as can be. She talks about, really? Like, that weight on you? She goes, my daughter walks out of Toys R Us, steals a yo-yo. I don't go back. I mean, we had this whole conversation, right? And I'm like, all right. And she goes, who does that? And I go, well, my God says I needed to do it, right? I'm like, that's my faith. You know, I need to be accountable to my God, Jesus Christ, and that's why I do what I do. Obviously, the conversation ended there. And so we walk out, and this is an important part. It's a fun fact. We walk out, and Caitlin is like eight, just like her mother. She's like, Mommy, I love her shoes. You know, they were like leopard and red and gorgeous. I go, honey, go back and tell her. I'm like, no big deal. Go back. So she runs up. She pulls her sweater. She's like, I love your shoes, you know. And we leave. Forget about it. Don't even think about it. Go home. Don't tell anybody. The next morning, we're sitting at our kitchen table, and we have K-Joy on. Remember K-Joy? I don't know if it's still around. I forget his name. John somebody, right? He's on K-Joy. So we're sitting in the kitchen, and I'm doing something for brownies for Caitlin before I go to work, and it's Caitlin and Michael. And out of the corner of my ear, I hear about this crazy woman paying for orange juice. And I'm like, shh, And Michael's like, why? What? I'm like, and she's going, yeah, she showed up at the Dunkin' Donut. It's Maria from K-Joy. She was the woman at the counter. And me, I'm like, I'm on the radio. I mean, I'm so excited. Michael's like, what? I'm like, that's me. And Caitlin, her eyes are this big. Michael's like, what are you talking about? Because I hadn't even told Michael. And he's like, what? And I'm like, that's me. She's talking about me. I paid for the, no lie, it had to be a 5-minute segment. And she said, and the guy, and Steve, the guy, or Perry, or whatever his name was on the radio, says, well, what was her response when you asked her? She said, I was accountable to my God. And this is on K-Joy, 9 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning, right? And I was so touched, not because of anything, but that God let me in on it. You know what I mean? I could have been at work already. I wouldn't have even heard about it. So Michael says, well, you have to email her. You got to, you know, talk to her. You got to call her. You got to do something. I'm like, what am I going to say? Hi, it was me. I know, it felt kind of ridiculous. So I get to work, and it's really weighing on my heart. So I Google her. I find, and the funniest part of the story, I must tell you, and being a little vulnerable here, I couldn't stand her on the radio. I mean, is that funny how God works? I literally would drive from my house in Massapequa to the train station. Michael would have K-Joy on because we didn't have K-Love back then, and I would turn her off because she was so disrespectful to her husband. She actually wrote a book like Castrating Your Husband or something like, and I'd be like, click. So how, I mean, when God, only God, right? Like, how does he work that out? The lady in the shoes in the store, I mean, it's crazy. So I get to work, I Google her, I email her. I said, hi, Maria. I just want to say I'm the woman from Dunkin' Donuts. By the way, my daughter loves your shoes, right? Right? Because God gave me something to differentiate me from all the other wackos that might be calling her. And so I said, I want to thank you for giving God the glory. And we have a Bible study at the time. I was at Hicksville Church, 2 minutes from there. If you ever want to join us, I would love for you to get to know the God that I'm responsible to that had me go and pay for the $2. Well, Carol, you had me in tears. I've been so far from God for 10 years. I'm and like it was a whole back and forth how she'd been away from God, and now she knew God was speaking to her through this encounter, this whole thing. And 2 weeks later, she left. She moved to Florida. So I'm telling you, God will use you to influence those around you. Listen to the voice. Come on, anybody would have said, Carol, it's 2 months ago, it's $2. Like Dunkin' Donuts needs your $2, right? I mean, that's what we're thinking. But God orchestrated that. Only God could do that, right? And the very woman that I didn't like, come on, right? So giving God the glory in your circumstances can absolutely influence others. And then lastly, I would say Daniel showed an incredible amount of confidence. He knew he was on the winning team. He knew that his God, our God, would be victorious. I'm a certified mental health first aid responder, and I love this slide. This is Nebuchadnezzar when we first meet him, right? The guy is a wreck, right? This is anyone dealing with extreme anxiety. I don't know about you. I've probably had every one of these, not only over the last 8 months, but probably during my lifetime. See, Nebuchadnezzar was the most powerful human being in the world at this time. But what was Nebuchadnezzar dealing with? Terrible dreams, nightmares, anxiety, probably heart palpitations. He probably felt nauseous. If they couldn't interpret his dream, he was going to kill everybody. Now, we may not literally be doing that, but when I'm like this, I'm probably killing people verbally. You know, I'm attacking people, right? Because I have no control over the situation. The future is unknown, right? This is where Nebuchadnezzar was. And Daniel, if you notice, Daniel never panicked. Right? Daniel was like, hold up, Arioch. He didn't question it. I might. Let me see if God's going to show up. Let me see if it's God's will. No. He walked in and said, give me a minute, you know? And what did he do? He went back and he prayed because he knew he had the confidence that God was going to show up. Do we have that confidence today? That I know it looks bad. I know it looks like the count is down. I know the world looks crazy, but you and I are on the winning team. It tells us And at the end of the interpretation of the dream, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, never be destroyed, but it will itself endure forever. So in closing, what I encourage you is to know which team you're on. Does my people have their foam finger? We traded in my Ranger foam finger and my Jesus cap because you are on the winning team. You are on Team Jesus. And this is worth more than any Ranger jersey, any Knicks jersey, any other jersey that you may have. Because when you became a believer of Jesus Christ, this is the team that you joined. And you need to know when you walk out, when you wake up in the morning, when you walk out of the house, where you go and what you do, this is what, everybody got their phone finger? This is what you represent. You are on Team Jesus. Have the confidence that you are on the winning team, no matter what it may look like. Jesus has given his life to give us a sure foundation that we may walk forward in humility and not only be a believer in an unbelieving world, but influence the world that, oh, the band's got one too, right? The influence the world that you're in. Be a reflection of Jesus Christ. It's hard. Thank goodness I quote Galatians 5 like every day of my life. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to be kind and gentle and loving and patient. We don't do it on our own. And if you're here today and you don't know this Jesus that I'm speaking of, today is your day. Don't let another day go by. This is a great team to be on. And if you've been on the team for years and maybe you've gotten your legs taken out from under you, maybe a little too many times, let me remind you, regardless what your eyes may see, our God is thoroughly in charge, thoroughly on the throne, and no matter what happens, the elephants or the donkeys, we belong to the Lamb. Let's pray. Thank you, Father God, for this time. I just pray that you speak into our hearts, dear God. May we be a people that are standing on the rock, the firm foundation. May we conduct ourselves with humility, O God. May the people around us in our communities, in our very homes, in our families, in our workplaces, God, may they see Daniel in us, O Father God, and may they ask like the guard asked in Acts 16, how do I come to know this Jesus? We are different. The world cannot steal our joy unless we let them. The world cannot steal our hope unless we let them, because you have won. The World Series has been won, and we need to have that confidence in you. So may we go out today, God, with our heads lifted high, with our shoulders back, knowing that we are on the winning team, the team of Jesus Christ. Amen.